This is St. Pete X, affectionately known as SPX. SPX brings you St. Pete's brightest business people, civic leaders, and citizens who share their insight and expertise, as well as their love of our great city. SPX is presented by the St. Petersburg Group. Head to stpete.co to check out more episodes, and by St. Pete's most effective marketing agency, Big C. Browse to bigc.co to see their work. Now enjoy the conversation. Hey, this is Joe Hamilton, and you're listening to SPX, and I'm here with Ryan Griffin. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
So I want to dive right into the sexy stuff. I mean, you're starting a new restaurant literally every week, every 2 weeks. What's your clip right now?
No, it takes a lot longer than I expect always.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, just to get people up to speed, Mandarin Hyde, an amazing institution downtown, a real pillar bar in downtown, a lot of class, a lot of style, amazing website.
Thank you. Yeah, there's a good website, great website, for many years. Yeah, that project, we started that project. Now it's coming up on our 7 years, which is unbelievable. Wow. And from day one, it took us a couple years to build it and to get the concept kind of fully thought through. But we wanted it to be an establishment that would last for many, many years. And that's kind of always on the forethought of our minds when we take any actions. We think about the long term and how to ingrain our business and our concept with St. Petersburg.
Nice. In addition to that, Suzu?
Yeah. So, Mandarin Hyde and Mandarin, just go back on that, is, you know, has been a great craft cocktail world. And that's something that I live in that world and enjoy it. And I've enjoyed it for many years and just fascinated by just cocktail classics, cocktail innovation, what's happening, different distilleries and spirits. So that kind of took me into Suzu. And I was approached by a friend of mine who thought there was a need for an upscale Asian fusion restaurant. And I tend to choose projects based upon a need. If I see a need in the community that we're missing, I like to go on that need and bring a solution. And then I look to try to decide if it's something that I would go to it and something that I enjoy that I can be proud of. And so my partner approached me about Suzu, an Asian fusion restaurant. And I got excited about that and also took me into Japanese cocktails, Japanese whiskeys and sakes and which is a whole nother world. So that was real fascinating. And we got into that and built that now coming on a couple of years ago. And that's been a great restaurant for us, a lot to learn. And every day we're working on our craft there, just like we do at Mandarin, to get better and to make sure that we improve the customer experience. And that's been great.
How big a part, obviously, cocktails at the high end as an art form is appealing to you? And then I'm assuming just culinary excellence in general? Mm-hmm. Are you doing anything other than restaurants to express your appreciation for that sort of craft?
You know, probably if you ask me, do I love cocktails or do I love culinary? Do I love food? I like all that. But I think what it is that I enjoy is I like to host. I like to create an atmosphere. I like to build a place that's unique, one of a kind, that you don't know why you like it, but you know, and you think about it the next week, and you think about it multiple times, and you want to go back. That it's a comfortable place. It's a place that you feel that you haven't seen it before and you feel that you're just excited. It's hard to put around. People tell me, what are you trying to design when you design things? I design a vibe that goes into the touch, the smell, the sounds. People underestimate the power of music. Mm. So for me, when you say, you know, is it cocktails, is it food? It's more of building the ambiance, which covers whatever the product is. So we can go outside of food and beverage. However, right now we are working on a couple other projects. One project is in the Grand Central District. We're working on building a day boat fresh fish restaurant. Hmm. And I just feel a lot of times there are a lot of fish and seafood restaurants out on the beach. And when people go out to the beach, they immediately think, well, I'm going to have seafood. And then when you come downtown, there's just not as many seafood restaurants or seafood outlets that really focus on it. And so I really thought about that and thought about that. I really wanted to have a place that was kind of old Southwest Florida theme and very, very simple. Whatever you catch that day, we make a menu out of it. When we run out, we run out. Only going to be open a couple of days a week. And we're going to see how that goes. But it's been fun putting it together and fun getting through all the nautical things. When I take a new project on, I have to kind of thrust myself into that culture, whether it was Japanese or I built a restaurant in San Diego and it was very kind of whimsical and peacocks and things. So you'll see in my house, I'll have peacock paintings and things. And with Mandarin, I think I started, you know, growing facial hair and drinking whiskeys and had buffalo paintings everywhere. So I try to take on whatever the concept is to get my mind around it. So right now I'm very old man in the sea.
Kind of like method acting almost, but for entrepreneurship.
Yeah, right. You got to kind of own it.
And how far along is that project?
Well, we bought the property a little while ago and been through permitting and got our permits back and cleared. So we are breaking ground probably in the next week.
Nice.
And that will probably be, look like a 90, 120 days out.
That's not too bad.
Yeah.
I noticed that there's a theme of partnership in mm-hmm. most of what you do. How do you choose your partners? Are many of them repeat partners, or do you like to move around and work with different partners?
You know, usually it's organic. Very much has been organic for me. Choosing partners, if I tell anybody, is probably the most important thing to do in a business before you have a good idea. It's understanding who your partners are. And then as a lawyer, I try to always advise clients, really lay out the expectations of all the partners, because at that point is, I think, the likelihood of success is determined. And if your partners and you have the same vision, if you have the same values, if you have the same expectations, and if you personality-wise can work together when the chips are down mm-hmm. and the times are tough, because they always are, I think you have a really good likelihood to succeed. And for me, it's been very organic. Talking about, I started building businesses back when I was 20 years old and had some friends as partners back then. And so this is in the St. Pete times, last 7 years. I'll start from there. I had my partners at Mandarin Hyde are Tony Casoria, Blake Thompson, and my dad, Bill Griffin. And that kind of came organically in the sense that I had gone to law school with Tony Casoria, and Tony was really big into music, loved music, and really could help us out music-wise. And that was an area that, again, I had my hands full on a lot of different things. And Blake was a developer, built a bunch of condos downtown and different buildings around the country. And so that was natural. I had a guy that could handle the construction phase. I had another guy that was great with music and bringing in acts and doing music, scheduling and different things around that and events. And then Bill was just great in terms of plant equipment. He's a perfect guy to have when things go wrong and to supervise and to be that person there. So that's kind of how those things happen. And I would say all my partnerships since then have kind of taken on that role. At Suzu, I had Patrick Marston, who's big into construction, plays that role in terms of oversight of the construction. And that was his idea with Suzu. And then Mike Harding from Three Daughters and previously from Bella Brava. And Mike is just great, the operations guy. A ton of experience in restaurant operations. And I kind of came on more of the cocktail world and to design that and help him out with that kind of vibe and how we kind of make it a unique space. So again, that kind of came up just organically. And then from there, it's once you have a good set of partners, sometimes you don't look elsewhere. So my other businesses seem to have used the same kind of groups of partners as we go forward. And that's worked out well. If you have a good group, stick with it.
Cool. I like it.
Yeah.
And just to reveal a little more of the empire, what are some of the other businesses that you're into?
We're really excited about another project we're building in Tampa. We're building a project over there on the other side of the bay, which will be craft cocktail world oriented with a restaurant component. It's probably all I can kind of talk about on that, but been very busy for the last 5 or 6 months on that, just acquiring the property and moving it along. And we'll have more information here, hopefully, when we get through permitting in the next couple of weeks. Have that going on. And then another project that we're working on is I'm really excited about. I'm just trying to, we're in developmental stages of building a hospitality incubator. And I just feel that when people think about St. Petersburg, if you close your eyes and you ask people, hey, tell me about St. Pete, they will tell you they love the beaches. They will tell you they love our waterfront. They will usually say the weather. And then they will go into probably after that, the arts, museums, the uniqueness, the vibe of our city. And there's a lot of other good benefit things that we bring, but that's kind of the top line for people that are visiting here or that if you bring up St. Petersburg. And I really feel that since tourism is so important to us, that food and hospitality should be up there, should be a driver, not just an ancillary thing that we have. And so I really want to figure out how to better our hospitality, our service, our workforce, our culinary talent, our chefs, so that we can expand that. And when people think of St. Petersburg, they think, that's where I want to go for food, because their food scene is so unique and it's so exciting right now. So with that, I'm working on putting together essentially a startup food incubator that has a food hall component and an opportunity access to capital for aspiring business owners. It doesn't have to be just in food per se. It could be different things. It could be service. It could be coffee shops. It could be retail. But that's exciting to me. And we're working on that. And it has a Culinary Institute component, which I think would be really neat to have a education platform. So that will be, once I get through these next two projects, that'll be on the agenda.
Cool. So the nuts and bolts of that are, you think that there are enough talent in the area that if they had this environment that they could grow and flourish in, you say the culinary school piece of it or institute piece of it, or are you hoping to teach them some of the business skills they need to mm-hmm. run a business? And what are just kind of the nuts and bolts of going through that process?
Yeah. So, well, first, I think one of the things would be that we would help build the actual retail space for them. And that would give them a very affordable way to start. And it would already build out the equipment for them, whatever their business would need. And they would have a very low rent, let's call it, per month to just cover some of the overhead costs of the lights and electricity to keep the operation going. And from there, you would bring in a bunch of different talented people. I have a ton of chefs from around the Tampa Bay that have said, listen, I'm so excited about this. I will be more than willing to volunteer my services to train and to teach people, which is tells a lot about who we have in this community. There's also some great hospitality trainers here. We have some really fantastic ones that I've used in the past. They travel all around the country. They teach all the employees from like Lowe's, Ritz-Carlton, but they live here. And that goes through all types of service, from greeting to actual plating. And I think they would be a help. I also think we have some really good people that would give business advice and how to start up a business, how to build a business plan, how to get an SBA loan, how to go through all your legal documents in terms of operating agreements, employment agreements, getting through all those things, and then working on how you would get access to capital, what that looks like, trying to build an angel pool for people. And I would track the metrics of the individual operators to find out who's ready. And once they're ready, we would then give them the forum to have angel investors come a la Shark Tank and invest with them. And then from there, they would get some additional education and training on how to move forward the brick and mortar space, how to build it, construction, and it would lead into a whole nother kind of category post leaving our incubator.
Cool. That's really exciting. Yeah. Just all things about it, just from the front end of getting to see all these sort of young up and coming folks, you know, applying their wares and creating great food. And I guess it would be sort of, you know, all the different groups would be right next to each other. So you could kind mm-hmm. of go in and try all this different food in one environment.
Yeah. You know, I'll say this, and I'm very active in the community and trying to better our community. And one of the things has been with the chamber. And from that, we did a benchmarking trip last year. And that benchmarking trip took us to Raleigh-Durham. And on that trip, they have the American Underground, and it's a technology incubator. And what I thought was fascinating was that essentially they had taken an old tobacco warehouse, actually one of the largest in the country, a Lucky Strike, and they had built it out into four floors of startup space. And they said, we're going to have only creative types in here. We're not going to have any lawyers, no people like me, no lawyers, no CPAs, no bankers. We're going to be creative people and entrepreneurs in this space. And in the ground floor, in the basement, it was 0 to 5 employees. This first floor is 5 to 10, second floor is 10 to 20, and third floor is 30 to 40, give or take. And what I thought was interesting was that they all were on the same campus and they spent a lot of time together, and there was restaurants on this campus. So at lunch, everyone would go eat, and the person that was running the 0 to 5 employee company would be having lunch next to the person that runs the 10 to 20, and they would be able to share ideas. And the person from the smaller company would look and say, how did you get there? And that time breaking bread and talking about real life experience and problems is so invaluable. And those companies have a really great track record of having the escalation move up, and that company continues to grow and moves to the next floor and the next floor, and then ultimately it sells. And I think they told me three companies might have sold in the last 5 years for $1.5 billion from that top floor.
Wow.
And having that kind of collaboration, I think, is, like I said, invaluable. So the idea would be that I bring these people together. They would be there. Not only would we try to train and help them, but they would learn from each other. And then we would have other celebrity chefs and people come through and have startup chefs be able to train and cook alongside them. And we would do kind of pop-up nights, and you'd have very successful chefs with aspiring chefs. And I think that would meld into not only an unbelievable experience for the aspiring chef, but I think it would result in some really cool fusion of what the product is and the experience for the customer.
Right. That sounds great. I mean, I think it'll work well, except for maybe the basement here. But since you're you know, this is your world that you live in, let's talk food for a second. Who gets it right in St. Pete? or who are the restaurants Joe.
Joe, I can't pick winners, man. I'll tell you, there's some, listen, I'll just say this. I mean, there are, I'm born and raised here. Mm-hmm. Okay. So think about that. I'm 30 something, getting closer to the other side of it. But in that time, if you ask me to think back about the restaurants 30 years ago, 25 years ago, maybe there was the Yacht Club and a couple other places that are still around, but there really wasn't much. So where we have come to where we are and where we have been, I mean, that's, it is unbelievable the advent of not only culinary, but of all of economic development in St. Petersburg. I love seeing just the ingenuity of our entrepreneurs and our restaurant owners, cooks, chefs, and how they attack things. Because you go to other cities and there's not the uniqueness that we have here. And you can have someone who says, hey, I'm gonna build, you know, I love George and Debbie at Bodega and what they've done. And they started out with an unbelievable small space. And they were out in the Grand Central District a number of years ago when there was nothing out there. And they were pioneers. And they started with the concept of, hey, I'm going to do a good Cuban sandwich, a good, you know, carne asada plato, and we're going to stick to what we know. And we're going to do our best. And from there, that creativity, I think all our community really rallies behind it. They love to see that startup and that grit. And I think they show that with their dollars. And I think Bodega is a great, and they expanded and have built a juice bar and continued to expand and just done a great job. And then from there, that whole neighborhood has been revitalized around them. And for me, I love neighboring businesses. Now, some people say, well, your competitor is going next to you. I don't look at it like that. The more foot traffic, the better. And having those other businesses that came up there, and Ferg's has been there a long time. And then you had Green Bench and Hawkers, Enigma, and I don't want to leave anybody out, but Empire Oyster, Jerry's doing there. So all those businesses start to work together and form a district. And that's what you want, to have that character in that area. And so I think they're doing it right. I think a lot of people are doing it right.
I thought we were getting kind of a masterclass there in the politically correct answer. But you did give one name, Bodega.
I love Bodega. I was hungry today, so I'm really hungry now. But I think they're doing really, really well. And I think that there's a lot of others too.
Yeah. Well, I don't have the same political restrictions that you do. So I will tell you that I love, if you haven't had it yet, the vodka sauce at Bavaro's.
Oh.
If you haven't been there, Bavaro's rigatoni and vodka sauce is must have.
How will this? I have been to the Bavaro's in Tampa.
Yeah.
And I have yet to go to the one in St. Pete. So it's on my list.
And of course, a little shout out to Natalie's too. That's a little hole in the wall classic up Central and 20 something with a lot of cool stuff going on.
I love Natalie's. Yeah. I love Natalie's.
I doubled you up there. I'll give two.
Oh, that's good.
Any non-food related stuff that you're into?
Gosh, you know, a big thing has just been, in this market, has been real estate. Mm-hmm. And so there are, for me, has been really finding real estate opportunities and buying the real estate. And they're in my kind of inventory of what I'm going to do with it. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of new ideas if I had more time. Right. Yeah. Time is my biggest limiting factor. But so I've been buying real estate in St. Pete, and that's probably taken up, obviously, practicing law is my forte and most of my time, and then the businesses that I own and the new businesses I'm forming. But that real estate's probably my other filler in terms of business opportunities.
You have a lot of small, medium, and large business clients in St. Pete in your mm-hmm. law practice. So how does that play into that experience? What are you seeing? What are the trends that you're seeing with businesses? It seems like everybody's on a heater right now, that the economy is booming. Real estate certainly is up.
I tell you, real estate is up. And I would say that anything associated with real estate and development has been booming in the commercial world and the residential world too. And that's been going strong. I think that consumer confidence is up. So people are expanding and trying new businesses and taking some risks. And that's exciting. I'm also a business litigation lawyer, so a lot of times I deal with situations when things go awry, and often after correcting those issues with my clients, I try to advise them on how not to get in that situation again and provide that advice. And so really, you know, in these times when times are good, I tell people, you know, hey, take the time to make sure that you set your business up correctly, whether it be small business, medium, or large business, but take the time, like I mentioned, make sure you have the right partners. Make sure expectations are aligned. Make sure you have everything kind of in writing and agreements, and really put thought into that, put time, put money into it, because whatever you do there will be exponential later on in terms of avoiding problems, making sure that you're going to succeed. It's essentially like building, when you build a business, doing that paperwork and doing that thoughtful effort is like putting the foundation down on a house. And you really want that foundation to be strong. And a lot of times people say, you know, well, it's all good and it's going to be successful and I know my partner and this is great. I say, listen, I know it might be some money spent right now, but go spend time with your CPA and your lawyers and those kind of things because it will be well worth its weight in gold later.
What are some of the most common things that cause partnerships to go south that you've seen in your experience?
I think I touched on it. I think it's expectations and I think it's personalities and values. I think those three. I think it's expectations, personalities, and values, and they all kind of coalesce. I think expectations in terms of what the business is going to be, how you're going to run it, what's the end goal. The personalities are important just because, as I mentioned, you're going to go through, just like anything in a marriage, a partnership is a marriage. And so you're going to have good times, you're going to have bad times, you're going to have stress. So you want to know that you're going to be able to deal with each other in those times and be able to communicate. And that's extremely important. So I think that was it. Personality, expectations, and the other one was?
Values.
Values. And values are huge just
quiz
because.
Passed.
Yeah. What did I win? I mean, values are just at the end of the day. I mean, that's who you are. And so I think if your core values are aligned, that it will carry the day. A lot of problems, a lot of issues, and that brings the expectations and it brings the personalities together. Because if you can grab hold of the same values, I think you're in a good position.
And speaking of core values, in addition to all of the personal entrepreneurial endeavors that you're in and you're practicing law, you're actually jumping in and devoting a lot of your energy to the Grow Smarter initiative with the Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about how that came about and then what your role is and expectations are for that?
Oh, man. Okay. Yes. I'm very excited about that. So thank you for giving me that opportunity. I don't know how much time I have. Okay. Well, I'll kind of give a little background. So in 2013, 2014, the St. Petersburg Chamber was looking at a couple things. One was, what is our economic plan? Do we have a plan? And what would happen if we lost some major employers in our community, or if we had another economic downturn? How could we protect against that? How could we also take advantage of the momentum that we were seeing in St. Pete, which was unmatched? And that then resulted in the chamber and the city, along with some very generous sponsors, coming along and realizing that we wanted to go out and get an independent talent. And we hired a company called Market Street. And they are a comprehensive strategic economic planning company. And they put together some great economic plans for many communities in the country. And so they went and did an extensive process of interviewing people in our community, doing surveys, researching a lot of data and metrics of our community. And from that came a plan, which is known as the Grow Smarter Plan. And a Grow Smarter strategy. And that's a very comprehensive plan. You can see it on the Chamber's website and read it. And it goes through and identifies a number of different things. One, identifies five cluster industries that we as a community seem to have a strategic advantage on, possibly three times the amount of people in that industry in our community than average. So it identified those as ways that we need to not reinvent the wheel. Let's go with our strengths and continue to push those farther. And the other thing it did was it identified six focus areas that really drive our economic development. Because when you look at economic development, people say, well, it's getting jobs. If you've ever looked at it, it goes well beyond that. It's peeling an onion back, right? Because their jobs, well, are there employers? Do we bring in new employers? Do we bring in new employers, what are they looking for? Affordable housing, transportation, workforce, talented job force. Do we have educated people? How's our education system? So as you can see, it just continues to kind of go, and it's a big, big thing to tackle. So that's why this plan is very, very comprehensive and dense, but it identified six work groups, and those work groups really boil things down to drivers. One of them is culture and community, and that really looks at three major components. One is safety. People need to feel safe in order to thrive economically and for taking business risk and to growing business and to move here. It also has in there housing and affordable housing for all ages and stages. And that's key because a lot of times now our housing stock is older and therefore a younger person or a young couple has limited options and they might have to go buy a house that's 1950s like I did. And I bought a 1950s house and I had to spend a lot of money in rehabbing it on top of the price. In light of real estate costs going up, having to put more money that you don't have coming out of pocket. That's a daunting thought. So trying to figure out ways that we have more affordable housing for all our workforce, all ages and stages, like I said. And the other thing about culture and community in that work group is just interesting events. How many unique events do we have that really make us St. Pete? And how do we expand on those and how we increase those? Because that's what drives people here, right? It's that feeling that we have so many cool events in Fenway Park and just the Straw Park and around the city and Pride Week and just great things that really set us apart. The other one is education. And that really looks at cradle to the career and how to go from early learning and strengthen early learning to all of our Fairmont elementary schools, high schools, and also to our colleges. And colleges are huge for us. I mean, if you look at the colleges at Eckerd College and USF and St. Pete College and our technical schools, Stetson, I mean, you look at those schools, those are lifetime tenants in our community. And they don't think in years, they think in decades. So we need to make sure that we get in line with them and use them and help better them. Because that's how we're going to grow in places like Johns Hopkins and how to maybe bring them into the fold as an education hospital. So that's just the education component, which is great. And that's the bedrock of everything. When I'm trying to bring a new lawyer to our community, I think I went over on everything. And then they say, okay, where's my child going to go to school? And those are the ones that we have to work on, right? We just have to continue to make our schools better. And I think that's what everyone is putting as one of the top priorities. So that's education. And the other one is districts and corridors. We've kind of talked about that, but having each corridor in every district have its own character. We've seen that with the Edge. We've seen that with Skyway Marina District, Innovation District. And I think that really gives a sense of place to each district, which helps inspire that district and will help grow it and give it its own identity. The other one, and also the arteries of keeping business together, Central, 22nd, 34th. The other one is targeted job growth. And one of the things that we've accomplished through Grow Smarter has been forming an EDC, an economic development corporation. Its task is really to bring in great employers in our community. And they've been doing fantastic and very exciting in terms of what they got in the pipeline and the things that they'll be announcing. So that's been just wonderful. But it just doesn't end with the EDC and targeted job growth. It's also expanding our current businesses, how to get more employees and more jobs in those existing businesses, how to grow the startups that are right here, like I said, those small ones that really kind of give us our own little individualism. The other thing is awareness building. And that's telling the story of St. Pete, the love story, right? How do we sell that? And how do we get it out to the right people and target so we can bring the right people for the top jobs and the top employers and get them in our community? And the other one is entrepreneurial growth. And that's probably one of the most exciting ones. One of the things is to work on a tech incubator. And that is really trying to help access to capital for startups, not just in tech, but in everything, and help that counseling of how to start up a business and how to grow a business in this community. And there's a lot of great people doing great stuff with that. I know the Tech Garage and Tanya and Sheree at USF. And so we have some great people in that field. And one of the things I think about Grow Smarter, the idea is it's not building a new wheel here. It is just the fact that we have so many talented people in our community and trying to bring them together so they're not in silos, that you can bring them all in one room together saying, hey, listen, you're all trying to work together, but the sum of all the parts is more than the whole. And so that's what we're trying to do. And the end goal is that we really grow our community. And I would grow our community in the right way economically and have inclusive prosperity. And that's what we want, right? We want this to be, because if you activate an entire community, that's exponential, right? We're doing a great job in our downtown, and I don't want to stop that momentum. But west, south, north, we need to get the whole community behind this. And I think we can really make this a movement. When I go and talk to people in the community, what I learn is that we have unbelievably talented people, that we've never seen a tipping point like we've been at before in St. Petersburg, and that everybody has a love for St. Pete. And when you put passion, talent, and timing together, wow. Wow.
I hear you. And you know, we've been doing a lot of stuff in that realm as well. And I think the big challenge is how to activate, right? And I think you touched on some important actual actionable items that have happened. Building the Innovation District was a thing that happened that came out of it that got done. And the EDC is a big thing that happened and got done. And now they're already starting to see some fruits of their work. And so what's next for sort of taking the activation to the people? And I know there's some potentially some money coming around the pipe that will help with this. And mm-hmm. What do you see, you know, in the next 6 months to a year as far as the next stages of making the strategies, executing on those and making them a reality?
So what I see is, first, the Grow Smarter plan, it's a multi-year plan. And like I mentioned before, we've already accomplished a lot of the things that is laid out in the Grow Smarter strategy. But one of the things we didn't do back in 2014 when we designed the plan was we didn't build the framework. And so we're going back now, and that's what we're doing currently today, is to build the framework, essentially those focus groups and a steering committee. And those people will be charged with making sure that Grow Smarter strategy comes to fruition and sustains, and that the initiatives listed in each one of the six focus groups I talked about, that they actually get accomplished. So what we're doing now is that those groups are being put together this month, and we'll start meeting in the next every month, and that we'll have a summit come December where we'll be launching the Grow Smarter strategy. And hopefully coinciding with that is that we are pursuing some really exciting opportunities on some funding, and that will give us the ability to accelerate this program. So instead of being 5 years, it could be 2 years on some of these initiatives. So that would really be a game changer for us. And so start of January 1, if that funding came in and we have now the table set with the players, I think that it will be just a unbelievable movement and economic development. So kind of hang on to your hats, because I think it's going to get really, really great for us around here. Not that it's already great, but it's scary to think that it could get better. So I think that's the next thing coming.
I think you're going to need a 25th and a 26th hour in the day. And I guess we passed over the five clusters, the five areas: data analytics, arts, marine sciences,
health, and financial.
Yeah. I think we could lobby for a sixth one, which is Ryan Griffin cluster of culinary.
That's a dark horse coming from behind. It might catch up to the other five, but maybe one day.
Yeah, maybe it plays into the arts at least.
Yeah.
Because it is an art.
Well, I'll tell you, the arts in our community, that's just been such an unbelievable gift to our community, and also gives us, like we talked about, a sense of place. It's a sense of identity. I think everybody, when you talk about St. Pete, they feel the arts. And that's really something a lot of cities don't have. And that's when you look at things, you look at a momentum of a community. Momentum is so hard when you don't have it. When you do have it, you want to keep running as fast as you can go. And I really feel like the wind's at our back. I feel like we have momentum. Sometimes when a city or a community loses momentum, it's many, many years to get it back. So that's just something that we have to be heady on and think about and just say, listen, we got this momentum. We don't want to take it for granted.
Cool. And do you see any, off the top of your head, risks to our momentum? Real estate prices or oversaturation or, anything that you see as a risk factor for St. Pete's cool trajectory?
Well, I would say there are some, there's obviously global things. Right. I think that economic downturn on a global scale would definitely have an effect on a lot of things that would then lead to real estate prices and changes in liquidity. And so obviously I think that could slow us down in terms of a community and private sector development. But I think one of the things that helps us in this Grow Smarter strategy is that it's a lot of volunteers. And as long as we all have time, we're devoting it to our community. And so I think that kind of insulates us a lot of ways in the Grow Smarter strategy from economic downturn. So, it would be more of a macro fear.
Right. Cool. All right. So at the end of each SPX podcast, we do a thing that's going to probably tip your political correctness meter over. We give a shout out.
It's a
simple thing. So,
okay.
This can be, a startup. It can be a nonprofit. Those are kind of the easy way out. So I encourage you not to take that one. But a person, just someone that you think that's doing really cool stuff in St. Pete that just maybe doesn't get enough eyeballs on what they're doing, enough appreciation for what they're doing.
Oh, man. Okay. Gosh, I could give you a lot.
This is not to be just one. If you want
might give me a couple here. I'm going to think about my last weekend, right? So I think what Sean and Celeste have done at Brocon is very, very cool in terms of, I was up in Asheville last week or 2 weeks ago, and I was up there and I was talking to a person that ran and owned the best vintage furniture place in Asheville. And I was talking to them and they said, "You're from St. Pete?" I said, "Yeah." They said, "You know Sean and Celeste?" They said, "Yeah, I was there 3 years ago and they gave me the idea of this Brocon thing." And they actually were doing the first Brocon in Asheville, a different name, but the same theory 2 weekends ago. And I really think that's a little vision of two people that have day jobs that had a little passion for something over at Paper Street and let that organically grow. And like I mentioned, just like with George and Debbie, that the community kind of just rallied behind them. Next door to them, I think what Mike Rydell is doing over at Made Coffee, I think is really, really cool. Mike used to work for me at Mandarin and has a passion for coffee, and has just done an unbelievable job in the cold brew coffee sector. and really growing that brand. I'm really proud of him and what he's been doing. So I think he's doing a great job. Across the street from him, my partner, Mike Harding, I think what Three Daughters is doing is unbelievable in terms of the volume and how they're growing and expanding. And they really were the flag bearer for that area. So they took that, if you remember down there, I remember when they said they're moving on 22nd Street and that little area, there's nothing there. He put his flag down, and from there sprouted Brocante, sprouted Made, sprouted a lot of other businesses, Cage Brewing, other places around there. So I really like those pioneers that are putting their, you know, stake in the ground and creating an area. From there, that is a whole little district. I went over to another couple of stores right around there when I was there. So I think that what they're doing there is great. And when that becomes the Warehouse Arts District and what that's going to become, I think that whole area is just sky's the limit.
Right.
So they're doing some great stuff.
About half of my office is from Brocante. And we laugh because, you know, I did the industrial theme. And it's just, mm-hmm. it's like you pass things on the side of the road. You know, don't we won't stop and pick up. And then you go pay $300 for them at Brocante.
You know? Yeah. You know, my dad jokes because he, you know, I don't know if you ever watched that show, Fixer Upper. Okay. And I'm married and I'm the wife and my wife is the husband, right?
Right.
So I like to design and collect antiques and pieces. And so I am a collector, right? And so I have storage units, lots of them.
Really?
Like JoJo on Fixer Upper or whatever. And I find a unique piece and I need it. I don't know when I'm going to use it, but I got to have it. Yeah. So my dad jokes, he's like, listen, we just need to open up these storage units. Now, if we made them look kind of cool, people would come in and buy all this junk. But yeah, when you look at my storage units, they don't look good now, but I envisioned if I painted these pieces and I put them in a cool environment, they would maybe sell, but they're all roadside stuff.
Really?
Pretty much. Pretty much.
All right. Well, that's probably I think that's the best nugget we got for the day. The roadside collection.
Yeah, if you put anything on the roadside, I have a eye to see the best in everything, right? So yeah. A lot of times when I walk into spaces, especially my partners, they look at different things. I've said, this place is beautiful. And they're thinking, are you looking at the same place? I want you to get your eyes checked because this is not beautiful. But I try to see what things could be.
Have everybody come into one of your places and just sit down on a couch and say, hey, this is my couch.
Yeah, no. Right. I probably put new, you know, upholstery on
kidding,
it.
Yeah.
But it was funny because, you know, I grew up cleaning what is now, this is unbelievable, but my mom and dad own property where's now One, which is right. Now being built into the Hyatt, which is crazy for me to get my mind around. So that used to be some old buildings there. And then my family owns some buildings in Janus Landing. And I had to clean those buildings mm-hmm. all the time. Right when I was little. So every weekend I was there sweeping old wooden floors and cobwebs and everything else. But I fell in love with the old architecture, right? Just the cornice work, the wood floors, the beams, the brick, right? So for me, I'm a sucker for all that. And I really, really love kind of old architecture. So sad to see those buildings go, but you know, the One is a great project for St. Pete. And so I think there's a nice balance of new construction and preserving old buildings as well, kind of.
And the reality is they're not really gone. They're just moved to your storage unit. So
yeah, exactly. The building actually was the Henri Hotel, and they actually picked it up and they moved it to, I want to say, Seven Gables out there, preserved the building. It was the oldest hotel in St. Petersburg.
Was the last standing one, the pink one, was that yours on the one lot that was in the front corner by Starbucks there?
Actually, it was my parents prior to that, which was actually the dirt parking lot.
Got it.
It had already been torn down. Actually, I'm in a domain to be a Bay Plaza, which was a precursor to Baywalk, which was a precursor to Sundial, but it didn't get off the ground.
That was our first office of that pink building. We had a, you know, a 6-foot by 6-foot closet from a real estate agent there, and my Zoe and I back in the day. And we started there for a few months.
You get listen to music across the street, yeah. Right? You get Janus Live over there.
Yeah, the windows didn't shut, so we heard it. We heard it very well.
Okay. All right. That's I don't know how you keep the bugs out or the water, but yeah, you figured
didn't.
It out.
Yeah. No, you didn't keep them out.
Wow.
Just put plants there.
Yeah.
They kept watered.
Natural barricade.
Green living.
Yeah.
Well, this is fun. A lot of good information. Really appreciate what you're doing. You know, it's entrepreneurial engines like you that keep putting new things up and building our culture, and especially building our culture, because there's a lot of people putting things up that are utilitarian and they can be cool, they can be sleek, but it's very rare that you find someone that's continuously putting up new things that actually have unique, non-cookie cutter, well thought out, intentional culture building aspects. And I think all the places that we've talked about today that you're building are exactly that. And they really do contribute very much so to the character of St. Pete and, you know, what keeps it special and what keeps its renaissance humming. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
And and of course, all the work you're doing with Grow Smarter is invaluable too. So I think you're something to be aspired to for the entrepreneurs of St. Pete. And it's been good getting to talk to you today.
Can I put a shameless plug in?
Please.
Grow Smarter. I just would say that if anybody is interested in that, go look online, the Chamber's website, read it. Just because I think education is a starting point.
Everything we talk about today will be in our show notes page mm-hmm. on the podcast page, which will have links to all of your establishments and the corner. I think we actually have the Grow Smarter on the website, the St. Petersburg Great. Group website too, yeah. permanently. So I've read it and I'm not going to read it again. It's very long and dense, but I wanted to say I got through it once and you could tell a lot of work went into it. I'm looking forward to making it more a reality than it already is.
Well, I want to say thank you to you for this. I think this is a great series you're putting on. And I think, again, there's so many good stories in St. Pete. And so whatever we can do to put the spotlight on some of these people, because just I see so many people working so hard. I remember, this is one side note, but brick and mortar. And I was over there when it first kind of opened. And it's the only time I've ever actually asked to talk to the chef. And the waitress, she came out and she was worried, right? And went and got the owner and the chef. And I just complimented him. I said, listen, because it wasn't busy that night. And I just said, listen, do what you're doing. It's going to work, right? If you build it, they will come kind of thing. I said, listen, you're doing a really awesome, unique thing here. And to stay true to it, and it will come to fruition. And obviously has. And I think he's had fantastic success there. But those other people that are out there that are doing great stuff, just keep doing it. It's going to happen for you. The city's building up fast as we can around you. We're bringing a lot more people here. So keep doing it.
Keep doing it.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
You've made it to the end of another great episode. For show notes, head to stpete.co to the show notes page, which includes links to all the resources mentioned in the show, as well as quotes and key insights from the show and information about the guest and the host. Thanks again to our sponsor, Big C. Head to Big C, that's BIGSEA.co to check out their work. And if you like what you heard, make sure to share this episode on social media and leave a comment. See you next time.